Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. During our discussion today, we will be addressing the topic of youth culture and how to reach people where they are. We hope that you find it insightful and that you practice some of the things at the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and with nothing else to say, let us begin. Welcome back, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. Thanks for listening again. Today we have our topic is on youth culture. So we're going to be talking with Van Dion Griffin. Van Dion is the Associate Youth Director for the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists. Van Dion, how's it going?
Oh, man, doing good, man. And, man, glad to be a part of this.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Before we start, we always give our guests some time to maybe just expand 30 seconds, a minute, to tell us something about themselves, where they're from, what they're doing, what are the big projects coming ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, I'm Van Dion Griffin, and I am married to one lady, and I have one daughter who's 15 years old. Those two ladies are like the love of my life, so I spend a lot of time trying to make sure I stay connected to those two ladies. One in particular, who is a Gen Z, my daughter, you know, she's teaching me a whole lot about youth ministries and what's going on in the youth culture, so I really, really, really appreciate them. And I am actually working on a huge project right now. Youth evangelism is kind of my handle for right now. I'm trying to really delve into that and what does it look like? How do we actually expand it? How do we reach young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and do it in a very non-traditional but yet unique and impactful way? So it's kind of what we're doing right now. It's a big project we're working on, and it's under an umbrella branded ministry for a department called Momentum.
Okay.
And so we're pretty excited about how it's unfolding right now.
So how is this Momentum, like, you know, I like, you know, the idea, the concept, how is it non-traditional? How is it different than different youth approaches that people have had in the past within the church or maybe outside of the church?
Yeah, so we're trying to take a different kind of approach in terms of evangelism. We believe that students love to be engaged in service, and so that's a part of the whole component of the overall Momentum project. So under that, we call it Touch 10,000, and so we trying to connect students with the opportunities to be a blessing to at least a minimum, we're saying, of 10,000 people, and that takes on a different look every single day. And you're touching people's lives and you don't realize it. Or sometimes you haven't been intentional about trying to be kind or do something nice for someone else in a day's time. But we feel like if you take on that approach daily, before you know it, you have impacted at least 10,000 people in your life. And there's something happens when we are of service to someone else. And so, yeah, we're excited about it. So we have a service component. Then we have a worship and small group component to the actual evangelistic series. So I don't know if this is the right time to share, but we take about 45 minutes, an hour max, to roll through the service. It starts with some just intentional praise and worship. Sermon portion of it, or the talk, is only 20 minutes. And then we take a 15-minute wrap-up with students in small groups, and then we close out. And we just feel like that's more impactful than them sitting and listening to a sermon for 45 minutes, but they actually get a chance to take part in the sermon by doing a wrap-up session with themselves.
So it's like interactive. That's the kind of idea, you know.
Yeah.
It's building the momentum.
Building the momentum.
And making sure that their lives are changed in that moment, like, you know, that they're paying attention and not just kind of like listening to a lecture, per
Correct.
Se. You know, they listen to lectures every day of their lives.
Every day, yeah. They're actually in school and they're being lectured all day. And so to come to a worship experience and be lectured again, we don't think will have as great an impact as them taking part.
Mm, that's good. Well, you work with youth most of your time. So I would like to kind of understand a little bit. I see that this is a different approach Mm-hmm. And Adventists have something unique to kind of give, contribute to the Christian space mm-hmm. to a certain degree when it comes to youth ministry. Now, when it comes to this initiative, not only Momentum, but maybe other initiatives that are taking part throughout the division, throughout North America, how do you see the impact of, or the uniqueness? Is there something unique about how we relate as Adventists to youth than, let's say, other programs such as, you know, we have youth programs that reach not only youth, but like you have Hillsong or you have campuses, satellite churches that, you know, they focus a lot on youth. I remember reading, or I'm going through this book right now called The Juvenilization of American Christianity. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how churches, you know, they're changing the method from focusing on the adult version to kind of like, hey, the youth, young adult. So how are Adventists unique in this space? How are we positioned to, you know, help and share and further people's spirituality, especially young adults?
Yeah, I think our uniqueness is that's been our mantra from the beginning, mm-hmm. in the inception, and when we first started focusing on youth programs in the early 50s, with making young people a primary and integral part of what we do and as a church. There's this ministry that I'm sure you're familiar with called Pathfinders.
Yeah.
And long before anybody else was really focusing with a spiritual focus on students, the Adventist Church was doing that. I think the next closest thing you had was Boy Scout and Girl Scout. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the spiritual component that Adventism brings, it not only teaches students values and how to live out a life for Christ, but it also impacts them from that moment throughout the rest of their lives. And, you know, I don't think youth ministry actually works unless it can have a long-term effect on an individual. You know, to the point where, honestly, those who have been a part of Adventist culture and youth ministries and really, you know, took it on, man, you know, they start having children, they want their students to experience the same thing that they experience, notwithstanding that there needs to be some updates to it. But yeah, I think we've always kind of been in that space as Adventists, and the rest of the world is kind of catching on. But I do also think there is a little difference that the rest of the world is really willing to make adjustments when they're necessary. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, I would say as a church, when it comes to youth ministries, we make the adjustments, but sometimes it takes us a little longer than others.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, I mean, definitely in the 50s or in the 60s, you know, we had a cutting edge kind of like, okay, we're kind of taking a concept that is congregation, you know, bringing people together, coming into, like, let's say the idea of Pathfinders, right? Mm-hmm. It started, developed, kind of came from the waves, 30s, 40s, aged, and was very mature, 50s, 60s, 70s. And it was very powerful because it was not just the community, but also enhanced people's spiritual lives.
Right.
But now we're in a different space. I mean, we're in a post-Christian, to a certain degree, society. We're in a very secular society. And by that, I mean that it's plural. Like, you know, there's a plurality of options now. It's not just like it's either you're Christian or you're not, but it's like I can be in between. I can, you know, acquire different practices from different people. And to a certain degree, we have seen within our church that a lot of people are leaving in their young age. So maybe my kind of a little bit of a pushback is, well, yes, we have been always focused on that space, but are we reforming our space to be, you know, keeping up with the times? And I mean, personally, in my experience, I haven't seen much of that, but I mean, I hear good things from Momentum. Are there other things that we can see towards maybe a revamping of Pathfinders, maybe something different that we can see, wow, youth ministry is actually coming again, mm-hmm. or, you know, we're kind of refocusing and re-engaging?
Yeah, I mean, again, I want to be clear that, yeah, we've been in that space for quite some time. And again, as I stated earlier, our challenge is being able to update and make the necessary adjustments when with timing. And we haven't done a superb job at that. And that's why there is a difference between what we do in terms of youth ministries and what other Protestant churches are doing, because they are staying and remaining, for the most part, cutting edge. Whereas we're trying to
get there
or maintain the status quo. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a pushback, it would be kind of where we are now and where we probably should be. Whereas one in the early 50s, we were the leaders. At this point, we're just a part of the team. Mm-hmm. And I think that, at least from where I sit, the North American division is positioning itself to make sure that we bring ministry that is relevant to our students. And there's going to be some pushback from the local level. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily going to be, you know, I want to start naming people groups here, you know, but it's primarily going to be from the boomer and buster generation who's mm-hmm. saying, no, that's not going to work. But we're realizing that it will work if we work it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do also want to be clear that, you know, we do have an exodus that is happening in our church, in the Adventist church in particular. But in all honesty, there's an exodus happening in all denominations. Yes. And it's not just in Adventism. There is this need for more. Mm-hmm. And man, more can be defined with so much depth. You know, but people are, and students in particular, are searching for something. And I think that at the end of the day, it's our responsibility as leaders to come alongside them, have those kind of conversations, and learn together what it is that we are seeking. Because I also realize that I'm always seeking, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking for more. And to just have, to say I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or to just say I'm a part of a church is not enough to hold a lot of people. They're looking for more. And, you know, a shameless plug again, is pretty much why I'm excited about Momentum, you know, because it helps us to seek out more and to have more with Christ. And not just a superficial relationship with him, but something that gives more to the person that's involved.
I hear you, and I understand that there's something more that they're looking for. Is that something more found within our church? Maybe it's not packaged in order for them to be appealing. Is the problem with the optics of the something more? Because, I mean, I will say, of course, like something more, we're going to point towards Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus.
That would be the natural response.
Right. That would be our natural response. And is it like, you know, we think of repackaging Jesus or maybe like making him more appealing. Is that the problem that they're looking for? Is that the yearning that they have? Like, you know, or is it more towards, I mean, there's different categories of more, right? Community, mm-hmm. maybe spirituality, maybe mm-hmm. just, you know, belonging, you know, the idea of being loved, right? Are people or youth, you know, looking for something more? Is that something more found within Adventism, or do they need to search elsewhere?
Yeah. one of my favorite writers, you know, Ellen White says this, that Jesus is attractive. Okay. You know, so when I say more, it's not necessarily that students are looking to have Jesus repackaged,
okay. But
to have the church repackaged. And so what is being offered at the local church, what the local church is doing to minister to those who are attracted to Jesus, can use repackaging.
Okay.
I mean, it can go through a new marketing process. Mm-hmm. Let's keep in mind that, you know, having this relationship with Jesus Christ is an amazing journey. You know, it is, but no one wants to take that journey by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more that I speak of, it definitely has to do with community. It definitely has to do with being of service to others. It definitely has to do with being in relationship with others and how that looks at a local level when I'm connecting with God's people who are attracted to Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think youth ministry has the first entering wedge into making that more become a reality for students. So, yeah, what does it look like? Right now, for me, it looks like Momentum.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I think that when you're thinking about Momentum, and something that I like is that it's very hands-on.
Most definitely.
You know, it's not just like something that happens outside. It's not just something that, hey, just come here. We're going to give you the Bible. We're going to teach you what it is. But it's more like, okay, well, come here, get part of the Bible, dig deeper with us, but let's just do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that churches can definitely repackage when it comes to appealing to, you know, young people that have the power. Like, you know, I mean, Ellen White herself says, like, if the wisdom of the old is combined with the energy of the youth, you'll see a lot of changes happening. Because definitely, as young people, we may not have the ideas or we may not have the experience, you know, of seeing the mistakes and errors. And that's where mentorship kind of comes through, right? You know, that's that's where, you know, this idea of mentorship can take a lot of, you know, power, you know, so.
You know, Luke 13 kind of gives a foundation for me when it comes to making Jesus attractive at the local church level. And even no matter what level of ministry you're operating from, the reasons why it is not as attractive as it can be. And I think Luke 13 kind of helps me with that. And it talks about this parable of a tree and that it was planted in this vineyard. It received the right kind of soil and right kind of water supply. It was actually placed in a place where it should have been placed, you know. But Christ himself planted it there. And he had one, God himself planted it there. And he had one desire for that tree being planted there. Mm-hmm. And that was for that tree to bear fruit. And, you know, the story or parable seems to suggest very clearly that after so many opportunities that God came to check on this tree, it had no fruit. He had one simple message for it. Cut it down. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, who is also in the parable, says, hold on, give the tree another year so I can dig about it and dung it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And for me, that's foundational because what Jesus is saying is there is not a surface challenge with the tree. Mm. There's a deeper challenge with the tree and it's at the roots. And again, Jesus is attractive. But in our local churches, in our worship experiences, in our youth ministries, we don't make them attractive because we're not willing to deal with the root of the issues. Mm. And I think that when you are willing to dig about something and get down, hands on, get dirty, you start discovering, oh man, this is fixable. This is doable. But it's going to require some dirt under my nails.
Right.
It's going to require some what we call sweat equity. It's going to require some of our timing. And we can't just expect it to happen on the surface and throw Jesus at it, you know, throw Bible at it. No, we've got to get down and get dirty, get to the root of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between having a thriving youth ministries program and a superficial youth missions program.
That's very important. I think that we need to do a lot of self-reflection.
Yes.
And I think that that's where, you know, getting to the dirty point, like, you know, kind of like, hey, I need to work with these people and actually do something about it and go deep, like go look for, the problem is not at the surface, the problem is ingrained. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that maybe one of the issues that we're seeing is that a lot of society is trying to streamline, make things very simple, you know, and it seems that we have a lot of levels within the church to do things. Is that a problem? Is that maybe a strength? Or how do you see it? Maybe it's fixable? Maybe
I do think that there are some positive and some negatives. I do think there are some barriers. And, you know, they do prevent things from happening, but also think that there's what I consider heavy accountability, you know, so that, you know, though there are levels, I think that those levels are designed, at least originally designed for accountability. And sometimes they can be seen as hindrances or barriers. But yeah, it just depends on how you view it. And are you really, really willing to get down to the dirt of it? You know, and you, once you do that, you'll discover you can get through the barriers or what seemingly is a barrier or a challenge and actually accomplish something great for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you mentioned that, you know, I'm just thinking like sometimes there's this lack of interaction, you know, between young adults, youth, and the older, you know, generation or the people that have been at church for a longer time. You know, it's just like it seems to me that there's a disconnect at the structural level, right? Like, you know, youth try to do a lot of things and they don't get guidance. They kind of like just get maybe critiqued.
Yes.
Or, you know, they get this like, oh, well, that's not the way that we did it back then. So mm-hmm. you don't need to do it again. So there's this lack of conversation, engagement, dialogue that is not occurring in the structural level. Mm-hmm. And the accountability is more of a father, son, you know, parent-child relationship where it's like, well, we're the parents, you're the child. You have to yield to our decision rather than a more parent, you know, maybe to equal, like equal relationship where it's like, well, we have these ideas. Can you help us, you know, do this?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, the new buzzword, you know, for youth ministries and for growing churches, churches that are doing well, and we have some within Adventism that are actually beginning to do very well. But there's a new buzzword, I think, that is carrying those churches to that level with youth and adult involvement. And it's called intergenerational. And we are actually moving in that direction where our church is turning the corner. And some areas is harder than others because, you know, intergenerational really suggests that you can't thrive without me. Mm-hmm. I can't thrive without you. But together, the kingdom is ours. Mm-hmm. And churches are really that are embracing this whole intergenerational mindset. They're really beginning to see God do some amazing things. Just, you know, I can tell when I'm getting that I'm getting older now. Because I actually have stories. And, you know, really quickly, my daughter just did an event with her academy where she invited all of the adults to be a part of it. And everything that she did for that particular evening, Friday evening worship experience, had to do with everyone doing it together. You know, they played the games together. They sang the songs together. And it turned out to be an amazing time for both youth and for adults. And I think the key to success was we're not here to outdo each other. We're here to work together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's nothing brand new. That's how the church started, working together. I will venture to say, and you probably get a lot of pushback on your podcast from this, but I would venture to say that we started having challenges in our churches when we moved to more silos in terms of ministries. Like, we're only going to focus on children. We're only going to focus on teens. We're only going to focus on young adults, which all of those need attention, special attention. Mm. But it's not a either or, it's a both and. Mm. And while we're focusing on, you know, having a great children's ministries and a great youth ministries, a great young adult ministries, the more we focus on that without bringing everyone together on a regular basis so that it all can be intergenerational, I think the more challenges we have. Mm. I mean, and I know churches who have an amazing children's ministries program, and that's it.
Mm. So it's just focus into one area.
Correct.
Not, it's not expansive. It's not looking to reach all of other areas. It's like, let's focus on this niche.
That's it.
And if we don't get that, we don't get.
Yeah, there's no bridge that is intentionally being built so that as students are moving from one level of life, from children to youth to adulthood, there ought to be bridges that are built to say that the way this is done effectively is we're doing it together. We're moving together as a unit. Even to the point, and I know this is not what this podcast is about, but even to the point of how we worship together, you know, and how the music that is on display is done together, how the word that is spoken, the talk that is given for the day is not necessarily super heady, but it's also not necessarily super childish. Mm-hmm. But there's this middle of the road where we're bringing everybody together intergenerationally for one common goal, to move the kingdom of God forward. Mm. Yeah.
As I think about what you're saying, like, especially when it comes to the experience of worship service, it's like there has to be something for everyone. You know, and like not everything will be for everyone, right? And even within a sermon, you can have a story, you know, which everyone will remember and kids especially will remember. And then you have a little bit more of the meat per se, like, you know, you have the more hard concepts that kids may not be able to understand, but adults will relate to. And then you may have, you know, another story or something like that to connect, you know, so that kids do not get lost. And I think that that's something that we can definitely use more interaction within the worship service. When it comes to youth culture, we have seen also that, you know, youth culture tries to be on the edge, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with that, you know, that it's like, I'm on the edge of this, like, you know, maybe touching towards quote unquote heresy. Like, you know, it's like, oh, like you shouldn't do that. Like, you know, you shouldn't go to these places, or you shouldn't be in these environments listening to this music, or so on and so forth, or dressing that way. Or, you know, why is it that people are afraid of the edge? You know, why is it that they're afraid of, is that what's causing the exodus? Like, you know, people going to the edge and then falling over and then, you know, going into another lifestyle or whatever. Or is it the reluctance, you know, of going to the edge? Or
no, first of all, I think that going to the edge, especially for students, is nothing brand new.
Yeah.
You know, everyone listening to this today, they've gone to the edge. You know, I think the difference is, first of all, as students, you're going to always challenge the status quo. Mm-hmm. That's just what you do. It's a part of growing up. It's a part of youth culture. One of the things that I love, though, about young people is they like to have boundaries. Mm. And a lot of times when we say boundaries, we think of it in a more disciplinary way, mm-hmm. Where, you know, if you go to this edge, then I'm going to do something harsh to you. As opposed to saying, if you go to this edge, we need to discuss why were you comfortable being there, you know, mm-hmm. and is there something that you're looking for? Is there something that you're missing? Is there something that we're not providing that's allowing you to go to this edge? And I think that because we don't have those kind of conversations, students go to the edge and no one seems to have any real concern. Mm-hmm. No one is really into going down to the root of the issue to get the dirt under the fingers, then students kind of say, okay, no need of me just standing on the edge. I might as well go over.
Right.
But going to the edge really is a cry for some kind of support, mm-hmm. some kind of fellowship, some kind of, yeah, Jesus is enough, but community helps make Jesus more real and, you know, it makes him relevant and touchable in my life right now, you know. And so I think that's kind of some of our challenges, you know. It's not necessarily that they go to the edge and they want to be there, but being there and having no kind of community to say, you probably don't want to remain there. Simply says, okay, since I'm here, I might as well continue on.
Right. As I continue hearing, I think that kind of like the theme that I'm kind of gathering from you is that we have to go to the root.
We do.
Like going back to our roots, even within, like, you know, innovation, like, you know, that idea, you know, we were kind of trending in the 50s, 60s, right? Let's go back to that spirit, you know, mm-hmm. spirit of innovation, the spirit of like keeping up with the times and repackaging and using. And like, you know, it's not like saying that we're going to change what the package brings, mm-hmm. but it's just like sometimes the optics do help.
Man, they do.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure that everyone listening here, you can go to a website, right? You can go to the website of Microsoft, mm-hmm. you know, 1990s, late 1990s, early 2000s. And you go to the website today. And mm-hmm. if you put them side to side, it's like, okay, there's a clear difference here.
Yeah.
Why did this website did not get mm-hmm. updated? You know, mm-hmm. why is it still living in the past?
Right.
How can we bring it to the 21st century?
Yeah. I actually saw a video of a worship service when they were starting to use lower thirds, and the font was, you know, as it comes on, it was like almost being, you know, put on one letter at a time. Mm-hmm. And then you watch a video today and the lower thirds looks much cleaner. The mm-hmm. font is different. It's better. And then I went to a service that recorded a service. And when they sent the video, it had like a 1975 kind of lower thirds on it. And I was like, okay, this person had video, but they didn't update their font and, right. and how they produce it. I think about Apple, the early Apple computers, as opposed to the Apple computers now. They have made the transition. And I think the church still needs to be clear about the optics and how things look and how we package things. Yeah, right. It makes a difference no matter what we say. And you know, again, if I can use Apple as an example, their job is to produce great software and programming, but it doesn't mean that they have to use the same package to have that great right. software.
Yeah, I think there's a element towards also saying that it's not just about repackaging. It's not just about making it look great, like, or make it look nice and water down what's inside. You know, it's kind of like showing that, hey, this package has many different forms. Like, you know, it's multifaceted, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to talking about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Jesus reaches everyone.
Yes.
Everywhere where they are, it doesn't matter who they are. He's always going to be trying to reach them. And I mean, we have different methods today than we had in the first century, you know, when correct. The apostles were doing it. I think it's important that we keep updating that. Maybe one last topic that I would like to kind of talk about is how can we, or maybe you have some ideas that we can start practicing, you know, how can we overcome and go back to the roots? You know, how can we start having those difficult conversations? What are some of the steps that adults can take, that youth can take to have this much needed reorganization, relooking for our purpose and getting our hands dirty? What are some of the things that you have seen work? Because it's a difficult conversation. It's something that needs to happen, but it's uncomfortable to happen. So how can we ease the process and be aware that we need to have this?
Yeah, I think that's an amazing question. And I think the best way for me to answer that is my own experience. Mm-hmm. I have one child who is a Gen Z. You know, life happens. It really does. And what has played out in our homes is played out in our churches. Mm-hmm. We are a composite of what our homes look like is what our churches look like. That's just a reality. And so I think the best way to get deep, to get to the root of the issue, you know, you know, in this parable, you know, the Bible is clear that he packs this stuff around the tree that would help this tree to actually do what it's been designed to do. And it's a stinky process, mm-hmm. you know, and I think this is what I hear you saying is it's a difficult, it's dirty, but it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the first steps that you can do is be willing to sit down and not have a solution, but just listen to the issues and challenges that young people face, that our churches are facing. And the way you do that is doing it at home. It starts at home. Many of our churches have been set up to be centers to solve everybody's problem. Right. And that is not God's design for the church. Some of those issues and challenges ought to be solved long before you get to the church. There is a resolution that can happen, and it usually happens in community. It happens in worship. As we extend our hearts to his, to God's heart. But there are some difficult conversations that parents need to be willing to have with students. And whatever comes out should be taken to heart. It really should. And so I'm saying to you, that was me, you know, being super busy, having a wife that was super busy, and also having a Gen Z in my home. And understanding, I need to have a conversation with this young lady and see where she is, what it is that she sees, how does she view, what are the optics like for her mm-hmm. in church, in youth ministries. You'll discover that students can be brutally honest, mm-hmm. but you'll also discover that they have no desire for things to remain like they are. They mm-hmm. want to have a discussion. And they actually have some solutions. But those solutions oftentimes need some guidance from us as leaders. And we ought to be willing to give that with the same kind of honesty, yet the same kind of care and love which they give it to us. So I think those are just some practical steps. Starting there, being willing to hang out with people on a regular basis, not to get them to do something for you, but hanging out with them just because. You know, I do believe this very simple statement: relationship is everything. And a lot of times we're trying to do ministry with people that we have no relationship with, nor do we have a desire to have a relationship with them. We have a desire to get something done. You'll get a whole lot done if you have a relationship with a person that is authentic.
Thanks a bunch. I appreciate your time here. Disruptive Adventism, really, really good thoughts. And I think that that's the way to be. So last thing, we always give our guests the last word. Maybe you want to just give a phrase or one final thought. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would say to those who are listening today, man, take time to listen. The reality is that none of us have all the answers. And if we would just take time to listen, sometimes the answer is in the listening. And so if I can challenge people to do anything today, especially when it comes to students, take a moment to listen to them, hear their heart.
That was our discussion on youth culture with Van Dion Griffin. If you enjoyed what you heard and want more insights or different ways on how to reach youth and young adults in your local context, please make sure to subscribe to Van Dion's podcast, Second Bite, where he discusses youth topics and how to reach others for the kingdom. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a Patreon, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links for merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.